Coach Pruitt, good to talk to you. How you doing tonight?
How you doing?
I'm doing terrific. Your players are finally getting back to campus. You get a chance to look them in the eye. That's one thing you really look forward to, haven't you?
Well, we started kind of trickling in today, and I've actually had to go out of town for one day here, and I'm headed back. But yes, I'm excited about getting around the guys again. We've got a really good group of guys on our team that are hungry, are ready to get back to work, and it's going to be exciting to get around these guys again.
Coach, how have you worked with your players? I know you've had workout schedules for them. How have you monitored that to make sure that they are progressing? Because it's been difficult for them, I'm sure, to make sure that they find places where they could work out.
Well, we've not been monitoring them. Whatever they've done on their own. We've been allowed to have virtual meetings with them throughout the last 8 weeks, and we've taken advantage of that. And we've actually given them the last 2 weeks off when it comes to that. We'll start back next week. So we've got our installs getting ready for summer just like we normally would. And the difference is we only got two practices in the spring, and so we probably missed 10 installs during spring. So we'll just catch back up this summer and get going.
There you go. The freshmen that are incoming, a lot of time this is an important time for them to get acclimated to school and living on campus and away from home and getting in workouts. So is there concern about them and that may be a little bit behind the other players coming in?
No, I don't think so. Historically, there used to not be any mid-year guys. Everybody came during the summer. And lots of times, it hadn't been that long ago that they didn't report until August. So we've got really good teachers on our staff. They've got great teaching progressions. The way we install, the way we teach concepts, I don't see any problem with a young guy having the opportunity and the knowledge to be able to step in and compete right away.
Your coordinators return, Jim Chaney and Derek Ansley. How much of an advantage is that in terms of making sure that everybody knows exactly what the mission is, the plan is, and you'll be ready to hit the ground running?
Well, the more to present it, and the kids get to hear the same voice. So, it was, you could definitely see in the two practice days in the spring, you could tell that it was really kind of the third year in the system on defense and the second year on offense. So that was good to see. And we've got a lot of returning players that have experience.
You told us earlier that when a football team really starts making strides is when the older guys start teaching the younger guys the system. Your older guys now know exactly what you want from them. You see that progression going right now that the younger guys are following behind the veterans like Trey Smith and the other players on this team to figure out exactly what they've got to do to get on the field?
Well, I really felt like last summer, we were really heading in that direction with the senior class that was here, and they really done a nice job, teaching these guys how to practice the expectations, and the older guys helping the younger guys, and it continued through the fall, and you could see it this off season, and, you can jump on the Zoom meetings, and it's going on. It's been going on for the last couple of weeks. I mean, our guys have really done a nice job. So, one of the first things you have to be able to do is everybody has to speak the same football language. If you don't speak the same language, then you obviously have some issues there. But just learning the terminology for the new guys, that's been good. And we've been allowed to let the incoming freshmen get on the calls for the last couple of weeks.
Got plenty of momentum riding that six-game winning streak into the upcoming football season. How much does that rub off during these off seasons? Because the guys see if you put in the work, what happens because you start winning on the field. Have you felt that in the locker room when you were around the guys?
Well, as we all know, the previous season, doesn't have any impact on the next season. So, but you can develop confidence. You do, you can develop experience, and we've got plenty of that. We had a lot of success down the stretch, and it wasn't easy. Our guys had to learn how to fight and find ways to win, and that's a good thing. I think our guys are really excited about getting back. We had a great off season, had two really good days of spring ball, and so I'm sure, like everybody else, they're they're ready to get back to some normalcy.
You know, you mentioned the fact there are no games, and recruiting has suddenly moved up to the front of the sports page right now. Tennessee has been out there hitting the recruiting trail hard. Talk about your philosophy going into this recruiting season, and why has Tennessee had so much success, at least on paper, right now?
Well, you have to give credit to, you know, Danny Stiff and the guys in our recruiting department, you know, really laying out a really good plan for this pandemic, really kind of virtual recruiting. And, you know, our coaching staff and everybody involved within our university being involved in recruiting. You know, it's not just the coaches. It's everybody. It's everybody that touches our program. It's everybody across campus, academics, the professors. You know, we use everybody to help us in recruiting, and probably the most important part are players, and they've really done an outstanding job.
And it's amazing how you start getting momentum and the players start selling the program, don't they?
Well, when you believe in something and you have passion about it, it's easy to sell, and it's something that you like to talk about. And you can't fool anybody. I mean, when you sit there and have a conversation with somebody, they know if it's real or not real. And the young men on our team, they're excited about the direction of our program, and they enjoy being around each other and enjoy being around the people within our program, and it shows.
We mentioned the fact that there's the Big Orange Slice now going on, the podcast for Tennessee. Wanya Morris was a member and a guest on that podcast and talked about what we just spoke about, the recruiting at Tennessee and how important it is for the players to sell the program.
He was just honest. Well, and he was just a real person. He was real genuine. And I just feel like that gets you a long way. And he made it say the players recruit the best players. And, like, I just fell in love with the team. I became friends with most of the teammates before I became on the team. So I just feel like, okay, I know people here and I'm comfortable. Why not go here, you know?
Comments from Wanya Morris. And, Coach, that's it. He was selling the program for you, so he understands why he came here, and I'll try and sell other guys to come here as well.
Well, if you want to build a successful program and be the best that you can possibly be, you know, you got to have good teammates. You got to have good guys to go against every day. And great players want to play with great players.
Today, of course, Tennessee fans are mourning the loss of Coach Johnny Majors. You're a longtime SEC football fan, know a lot about Coach Majors, your dad a football coach. Can you give us your thoughts on Coach Majors? I know you had a chance to meet him several times here when you took over as the head coach. Talk about what kind of impact he's had on your life and maybe the SEC and Tennessee football.
Well, I tell you, the first time I met Coach Majors, I was setting up in my office, and I was trying to think of the date of when it was exactly that. So, I mean, I'm thinking it was probably the first February, and it was right after recruiting season, and it was probably early evening, and Coach Majors comes and sees me, and he sits down, and we're sitting across from each other, and you know, he's just talking about Tennessee, and you could just feel his passion, and about college football, and you know, we sat there and talked for about an hour, and toward the end of the conversation, he asked me to lean forward, and so I kind of moved a little bit. He said no. He goes, I want you to get on the edge of your seat. So I scooted up there to the edge of my seat, and he said, now I want you to lean forward. So I really leaned in toward Coach Majors, and he leaned in toward me, and you know, we wasn't but about 3 or 4 inches apart there, and I'm thinking, what are we doing here? I hope nobody walks in this room. And we sat that way for about 10 seconds, and then he kind of leaned back. He said, I just needed to look in your eyes. He goes, we're going to be fine. So that was the first time I met Coach Majors, and he left an impression on me for sure.
You know, his mind was so sharp, he remembered games and players and coaches. It was rather remarkable when you did get one-on-one with him, wasn't it?
Oh, it was. And he could go back and talk about, he would be talking about games in the 70s. He would be talking about games that when he played, I think what was in the early 60s or
50s, mid-50s.
Late 50s, right there. He was talking about it. And it was just like he was he was in the moment, describing the play. So, and the players on the other teams. And so, Coach Majors was very sharp.
He was a treasure indeed, and we'll miss him. Coach, there's lots of anger in this country right now, lots of protests and unrest. How have you addressed this with your right now?
Well, you know, we addressed it last Friday. We had a Zoom call and, just talked to the team. And, you know, one of the things that I like to talk about things and I like to put it out there. And, I don't know how you can't be angry right now at what's going on in our country. If you're not angry, then something's probably wrong with you. If you just watch the news every week, there's been senseless murders across our country over the last 2 or 3 months. And, you know, it's not like this is something that just started happening. It's been going on for a long time. And, I said it the other day, the young people are ticked off. The old people are mad. The black people are mad. The white people are mad. Everybody's mad. You know, I was talking to my dad about it, and you know, I just told him, I said, I'm glad my grandfather's not alive to see this. But it's something that we've got to use our platform at Tennessee, and something our players have passion about, and the coaches on our staff. And, we've actually today, Coach T. Martin is going to head up a group within our program. And, so we can come up with ideas and we can be progressive, and maybe we can set the standard to UT and on what change is supposed to look like.
Very well said. Coach, before I let you go, we got a couple of questions for you from some fans. Jeff Abbott says, what can the fans do to support you and the team during this trying time?
Well, probably social distancing. You know, I think everybody wants to play football this fall, and there's lots of really good news going on about being able to get the guys back and getting started. And, I know these guys are hungry for football. And, for me, just, I've really been thinking about this a lot. You know, these young kids from the age 14 to 25, just how their world has changed over the last 2 months. And, there's got to be a really, really big awareness when it comes to the mental health of our student athletes and the things that they've been going through. And and thankfully we've got a great staff with Dr. Klink and our doctors here at UT that can help guide these guys. And you know, when they come back, that's one of the things that they're going to do. But I would say social distancing, and when we do get a chance to get in Neyland, don't sit down. Stand up the whole time.
Here's another one, Coach, from Jeff Van Hole. He wants to know your thoughts on the transfer portal and the option for today's student-athletes. Is it working?
Well, here's my thought is, you know, if you look across all the sports in the NCAA, every sport except for football, baseball, basketball, and maybe hockey, I think it's maybe those four sports. There might be one of them, another one. But all the rest of them, you can one-time transfer. I'm a big believer in one-time transferring. If a young man don't get many opportunities to get it right, or a young woman, and if they choose a school and maybe the coaches change, maybe the circumstances change, maybe things change at their home, and for them to have the best experience that they can possibly get, to me, I think we should allow them to do that. And if you do that, you basically can do away with the transfer portal. That's my belief.
And this comes from a player like yourself who did transfer when you were in college.
I did. I transferred, and the reason I transferred was not because I was disgruntled where I was at. I just wanted an opportunity to do something else. And I had a dream and a goal that I wanted to try to accomplish. And luckily, I was able to transfer and be immediately eligible. And I think back, how would that have affected my mental health? How would that have affected me moving forward in life?
Coach, we thank you so much for your time tonight. We want you to travel safely, and we look forward to seeing you and your players back here on campus.
Bob, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Coach.